You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show from myself, Robert Lee, as Martin Kaymer blows a 10-shot lead at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, allowing Gary Stahl to claim his maiden European Tour victory with a faultless final round.
It's unbelievable. I'm very, very, very happy. Today it was a good game, good driving, good putting. Every hole is perfect.
And we'll congratulate Gary live on the show in a few minutes' time. Rory McIlroy was second on 18 under, a shot behind Stahl, and the world number one had high praise for the Frenchman.
Very impressive, you know, coming off the Challenge Tour, and it's great to, you know, to shoot a final round 65 and win with a field like this is impressive.
Martin Kaymer could only finish third on 17 under par after a 3-over par final round.
A little shocked. Yeah, I don't really know how to put it into words, and it was very, very surprising today. Started off well, and then hit a couple of bad tee shots, and cost me double bogey and a triple bogey.
So a full review of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship is coming your way. Plus, we'll hear from Sergio Garcia, who's looking to defend this week's Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. And I'm very pleased to say that Gordon Brand Jr., no less, has joined me on the Race to Dubai show. Gordon, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Robert.
How are you wintering in the West Country?
It's cold, it's miserable, but I'm enjoying my time off. It's lovely to, I don't have to think about my golf going forward. I'm not going to start until March, so some lovely time off.
But still sneaking out there just to clip a couple?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to keep the engine going. It's not so much of Rolls Royce.
Not the one it used to be.
No, exactly.
Now, what about the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship? An amazing final day.
Well, you could not have called it at all, could you? Kaymer leading by 10. He's won the tournament three times already. And there's a complete meltdown. A bogey, a double bogey and a triple. He goes back to the field and the field catch him up. It was a shock. Kaymer mentioned it. I was shocked. He didn't know how to explain his meltdown.
He actually had the worst score of the day.
But even so, at the 10 shots lead, you could not have called Kaymer giving that away. He's missed a call and it's just disappeared from him and someone's called him up.
He started, though, so well with three birdies in the first four holes to get that 10-shot lead. He looked untouchable.
It was a perfect start, isn't it? I mean, if there's going to be any wobbles, it's going to be early in the round. Maybe you start off a bogey and it's all going wrong. But with a start like that, it's got to be one of the best meltdowns I've ever seen.
Well, the week before, Charles Schwartzel did a pretty good job in South Africa, trying to win the South African Open for the first time.
How does it all happen, playing so well? And really, I mean,
these are major winners we're talking about, by the way.
You're talking about class players. And it just goes away. It's an extraordinary game.
What does Martin Kaymer say to himself after, like you say, almost in a state of shock when he finished?
I think it will be just one of those things that's happened to Martin. Unfortunately, he's hit some wayward shots that have ended up in a bush, in the sand, and then from there he's taken the drop and not really had much of a shot there. It's going to go out of his mind. We're going to be talking about it for a long time, and we'll talk about it when he gets in that position again. But for Martin, it's finished.
Is the best thing he can do just get straight back out on the golf course, because he's going to play in Dubai, take a week off this week in Qatar and then turn up in Dubai?
I don't think he needs to analyse it too much. It's three holes that have cost him the tournament. Other than that, he's absolutely beat them up. So, you know, the quicker you forget about it, get on with it, get on with your job and contend again and don't fail.
Do you know the amazing thing? When he won a few years ago with a total of 24 under, level 66 is around that golf course. I thought that was impossible. Rory McIlroy on that occasion finished second on 16 under par, 8 shots back. But I thought that score of 24 under around there for four rounds was ridiculous. And to say how well he was playing, after four holes, the final round, he was 23 under for the championship. If he'd have carried on in his normal fashion, he may have been, I don't know, 25, 26 under?
Well, exactly. I mean,
incredible.
I've been down there three times when he's won, walking around with him, and he is an extraordinary golfer. He's almost a Rory star. When he starts to play well, he really is one of the best players in the world. So the 24 under par record, it's only going to come from a class player. He loves the place. It's almost like his second home.
It is. So as he was starting to come backwards in chunks, people like Gary Stahl, Rory McIlroy were having a good day, starting to squeeze the gap. What about the performance of Gary Stahl? He finished very, very well, top 10 the week before in South Africa, top five, I think, and then comes to this week with little or no chance when he looks at the leaderboard and thinks, well, I'm 10 shots back here, no chance. But the day changed and he just kept it going, Gordon.
Well, I suppose in one way, Gary was fortunate that the round was on its way. There was no anticipation for him to think, oh, I can win this. Kaymer came back to the field. They're into their good round and it really was a bit of belief to keep going. He's held a great putt on 16 and he's kept it going. He's finished the tournament off.
The They're an amazing group of young French players we got on tour now at the minute. Incredibly strong. So much so, I'm very pleased to say that Gary Stahl joins us on the Race to Dubai show right now. Gary, what a fantastic win.
Thank you for everybody. I'm very happy for the victory. I think it's unbelievable.
You're one of a group of some fantastic young French players. What is it that's in the water in France, or is it the foie gras? What is it that's making all these young French players play so well?
I think it's emulation. Lots of friends play good, so everybody now wants to play good. Lots of young guys now on the European Tour. French guys, Victor Dubuisson, Lévy, Vatel. It's my friend. I play with him. I like our game. And I'm happy for the emulation.
Of course, that's going to keep you going. And what about the fact that the next Home Rider Cup will be in France? Is that a big target for all you young French guys?
Yeah, I think it's good for the France, the Rider Cup in 2018. I'm happy for that, on a good course. And I think lots of French guys want to play the Rider Cup.
That's absolutely natural and quite right. And I'm sure when we get to Le Golf National in Paris in 2018, it's going to be absolutely dynamic there. It'll be amazing. Go back to the final round yesterday. When you were playing well and you got it going and you saw that Keimer had a fantastic start, what did you think was possible for you? Did you think if I play really well, I could finish second?
Yeah, when I saw Martin Keimer on the leaderboard, I was on the fifth hole. I saw Martin Keimer in 23 under, and me at this moment, I just was at 13 under. So 10 shots behind, for me, it's unbelievable. I don't think to play the first place. So I play good, very good. And I see the leaderboard on the 12th. Me, I was at 18 under, and Martin Keimer 20 under. And when I saw that, I think in my head, it's possible, you can do it. 3 hole after, I saw Martin Keimer in 17 under and me 18 under. So... when I saw that, I was very exciting, but it was very difficult to stay really calm.
But you know what? You can take this with you. A lot of young guys come out here and they win and they say, I never looked at a leaderboard and I hold a putt on the last and I had a look around to see if that was good enough. I'm telling you, you did it the right way. You watched, you saw what you were doing. You were aware of where you were. You were completely conscious through your back nine. You thoroughly deserved the win. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know you're going to be busy because you're the latest champion on the European Tour. You're a winner in Abu Dhabi. All those world ranking points.
Thank you. Sorry for my English. Huh?
No, your English is, I tell you what, 1,000% better than Gordon's French.
Okay.
You take care, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Very nice, that Gordon, little au revoir at the end. I thought very good. I like the way you just slipped that in. Very sound, grounded young fella.
He is. He's come from Challenge Tour. He's had 2 wins on the Challenge Tour. And now, as we said, the French seem to be on a bit of a ride at the moment. But what has that done for him going forward, Robert?
Well, it's a stepping stone, a massive stepping stone for Gary. That's for sure. It's his first win in his 41st European Tour event. It's his largest ever tour prize, €379,000. And his final day, 65, equals the lowest final round by a winner of this event, matched by Paul Casey in 2007. And the big thing for him, he's gone from 357 in the world to 103rd, just outside the top 100. And then you can start looking at the top 50 if you keep the good play going. Well done. Gary started the day 8 shots behind Martin Keimer, making it the biggest final day comeback since Graham McDowell came back from 8 back at the 2014 Alstom Open de France. Maybe a bit of synergy there. See, the French thing continues. 1 shot better than Andy Sullivan's comeback last week in South Africa. Okay, let's hear from Rory McIlroy, who was the runner-up in Abu Dhabi yet again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my fourth second here in the last 5 years. I played well today. You know, I left myself with too much to do after yesterday and even the slow start today when I felt like I played very well and wasn't capitalizing on my chances. But JP and I started to read the putts together on the 8th hole. And from there, you know, I started to make a lot of birdies. So yeah, I just didn't quite have it on the greens this week. But, you know, luckily it came right at the end. I found out on the 15th tee that Martin had made a triple bogey and then I made birdie on 15 to go one behind. But obviously Gary made a couple of birdies and at that point as well. So, but for the last 4 or 5 holes, I felt like I had a little bit of a chance.
I imagine you won't have crossed paths with Gary Stahl all that often, but it's an impressive performance, isn't it?
Very impressive, you know, coming off the Challenge Tour. And I've seen him a few times in the gym this week. He seems like he likes the gym and he's in decent shape. So, but yeah, you know, it's great to shoot a final round 65 and win with a field like this is impressive.
Nice words from the world number one for Gary Stahl. But, you know, Rory, 4 second-place finishes at that tournament is quite incredible.
It does suit him, the golf course, because he drives the ball so well. And as he said, he's played great this week, but he just had a bit of an off day on Saturday.
Had a nothing day on the greens, really. Yeah, ball striking, he was superb. And if he'd have chipped in at the last, he'd have forced a playoff.
Well, he could have done that, but 34 putts on Saturday, that is not the stats of a number one.
Well, Rory's last 6 European Tour finishes read like this. Win, win, win. Second, second, second.
That's serious stats, isn't it? Eh? Beautiful.
You know, to be a world number one is something. To have that level of consistency, it's quite amazing.
What is going to stop him? He is so good from tee to green. And if he just gets half a chance on the green and they start going in, he really can blow a field away.
Oh, he can. I mean,
he's incredible.
First 2 majors, he wins by 8 shots. No one else has ever done that in the history of the game. And if he can get over this court case that's coming up, if that can be dealt with, dispatched fairly quickly, and it's quite brief, you know, he looks ahead to Augusta. All these things are all little Augusta footsteps.
Well, I think all these issues of, you know, we had the club change and now we've got this court case. I think they are certainly behind him because we're seeing the player we saw 2 or 3 years ago and then he had some issues, but now the Masters is beckoning for Rory.
Well, Rory finished second to Gary Stahl and he might have thought he was playing for second with a good final round to perhaps finish behind Martin Kaymer. It didn't work out that way. I wonder what Martin Kaymer made of his final round collapse in the desert.
Surprised, a little shocked. Yeah, I don't really know how to put it into words. And it was very, very surprising today. Started off well and then hit a couple bad tee shots and cost me double bogey and a triple bogey. You know, twice I missed the grass and I was in the bush. Had to drop it in the sand. Obviously, then you get a bad lie and then it's tough to make bogey. And I haven't done that all week long. Unfortunately, I did today and therefore cost me the tournament.
It's out of character, isn't it? You never do that.
I do miss fairways, but usually, you know, you get away with it okay. I mean, you don't make double or triple bogey, but that's what happened today. And another thing was I didn't make many putts and therefore it was very difficult for me to make birdies. First 3 days I played so solid, missed barely a fairway, and today was a little bit different, but there's still a lot of positive, and it's tough to say it after that round, you know. I'm still a little bit shocked.
Thanks to Nick Dyer for getting all the interviews for us again on the Race to Dubai show. And Martin Kaymer, you know, he finished, he would have been really, really upset. He had time to speak to television, spoke to Sky Sports about what happened, and he spoke to Nick Dyer about what happened. Big man.
Big man, and he's got a lot of class about him, hasn't he? Whether it's a win or lose, he is a stylish man, and it's harder to explain the meltdown than it possibly is a win, because it's un-Kaymer-like.
You go back to when Rory, you might say the same thing, blew the Masters when he was leading going into the back nine. As distraught as he was when he finished, he fessed up and talked to the media about what happened. And that was part of his rehabilitation process, because a few weeks later, he goes to Congressional and he wins the US Open by 8 shots. So Martin Kaymer, although it's been a bad day at the office, is going to come roaring back.
They're big talents, but they're also big men as well. And I think it's the hardest thing is to say, tell people how they lost the tournament. It's really easy to say, that was great, I won it. And you can stand there and smile. But when you've really blown a lead away, to stand in front of people who are ready to knock you and actually give an explanation, total pros.
Martin Kaymer, top, top boy. And, you know, stuff happens. Golf's a difficult game. Time for a hole-in-one roll call, because aces were high at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club last week with no less than 4 in 3 days. Tom Lewis struck first, winning a car with his effort at the 7th during the first round, and he sounds like this.
I was just, like, perfect. I needed a Jeep anyway, so it was the ideal. You know, last year I had a hole-in-one, my first hole-in-one Royal Aberdeen, and I won champagne, so this time it's quite nice to win a car.
Later that day, Miguel Angel Jimenez did the same thing, this time at the 15th.
It's a lot of satisfaction, because especially you put 2 less on the scorecard, no? But no price, Neddy Wright. Well, congratulations to Don Luis, no? It's nice, and enjoy the car. Wait, don't have another car for me. Eh?
And then on Friday, it was a hole-in-one for the world number one, Rory McIlroy, his first ever hole-in-one as a pro.
I guess it's the same as making a 3 on a par 5. I don't know. An eagle's an eagle at the end of the day. You know, it's nice to make hole-in-ones and stuff, but I wanted to make sure I was concentrating on the final 3 holes and not let that overshadow what I was actually trying to do out there.
As always, he's compartmentalised it perfectly. And round 3 brought a 4th ace and a 3rd at the 15th hole, this time for An Byung-hun.
I didn't see it going in. I got up there. There's one guy watching. Just clapped and I was like, oh, it must be close. Walked up there. I don't see any balls, so it was in the hole. It would have been better if it got a car, but still, 1 is 1.
Well, well done to all of them. It's amazing. 4 hole-in-ones in the same week. Pretty unprecedented.
Yeah, on decent short holes as well. I can remember in France there was a short hole there which was really a bowl, really. If you just hit the green, it went in. Eamon Darcy had 2 in 1 week, but unexpected that we have four in 1 week.
He's always been lucky, Eamon, hasn't he?
Well, he's...
They call him Lucky Eamon.
Do they?
Yes! Eamon Darcy, two holes in one the same week. That's incredible. You're such a gilded little man from the West Country. I bet you you've had a hole in one in your professional career, and I bet you've won a car.
You're right in the first thing. I have had a hole in one.
Yeah.
More than one. Secondly, I have not won a car.
No motor?
No motor. I lipped out at the BMW. It went in and came back and sat on the front of the hole. You used to see it
in
the
bar. I bet it was at the 11th hole.
No, it was on 17.
Was it 17?
Seven, four iron straight at it, lipped out. 750.
I lipped out on the 11th for a motor car.
We're talking about hole-in-ones that went in, Robert. I've had about three on the tour.
But can I just say, I lipped out for the hole-in-one, 3 feet, missed the two. I didn't even get a two out of it. Absolute shocker. Well, tips from last week. Things have perked up. I went for Rory McIlroy on the basis that he finished second three times. The win was due. I was wrong. Finished second for a fourth time. And John Hawksworth, in your absence, Gordon, went for Henrik Stenson, who missed the cut. So well done, John Hawksworth. Another top tip there from the north of England. All right, Gordon, time for some top tens. First of all, from the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship itself.
Tied at ninth place, Swartzel, Fisher, Donaldson. Tied at sixth place, Wiesberger, Morrison, Hutton. In fourth place is Peters and Dubuisson. Third place, Keimer. Second place, McIlroy. And in first place, Gary Stahl, who finished at 19 under par in first.
Great win for the Frenchman, no doubt about that. And he will feature, you would think, in the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, Gordon.
In first place, Danny Willett. Second place, Ross Fisher. Third place, the new winner, Gary Stahl. In fourth, Luke Donald. Fifth place, Oosterhazen. In sixth, Brendan Grace. Seven, Marcel Seam. Eight, Charles Swartzel. In nine, McIlroy. 10, Afi Barnrat.
Thank you, Gordon. Now, in other news, Jimmy Walker won the Sony Open for the second year in a row with a nine-shot victory at the Wailea Country Club in Honolulu. Compatriot Scott Piercy was second, with England's Brian Davis tied sixth. Also this week, Jimmy Walker, he lost in the playoff because it was a Monday finish the week before in Kapalua to Patrick Reed, and he should have won it, but Patrick mowed him down in the end and beat him in the playoff, so the comeback for Jimmy Walker to win by nine shots just a few days later was absolutely extraordinary, and for Patrick Reed, his legend continues to grow. Remember last year he said he was in the top five in the world? I tell you what, if he keeps going like that, he will be in the top five in the world. Fantastic stuff. He's only the fifth player in the last 25 years to win at least four times on the PGA Tour before turning 25. The others were McIlroy, Garcia, Woods and Mickelson. So Patrick Reed in stellar company. Now, what do the two PGA Tour events plus the European Tour event in Abu Dhabi do to the world rankings, the top 10, Gordon?
At number one, McIlroy. Stenson, number two. Adam Scott. Bubba Watson, number five. Justin Rose, six. Garcia, followed by Furyk, Day and Spieth. And at number 10 is Ricky Fowler.
And an award for Jamie Donaldson. He has won, surprise, surprise, Shot of the Year for his approach at Gleneagles, which sealed the Ryder Cup for Europe. It was the clear winner, voted by the public via EuropeanTour.com.
I've hit the shot of my life under the circumstances, and to win Shot of the Year was pretty damn incredible. I'm very touched, very honoured, and thank you to all the voters from my European Tour for voting. You know, it's something that's going to be there forever. It was an amazing moment for me, but, you know, more importantly, the team won. But, yeah, to win the Shot of the Year is very special.
Talk us through it.
I had 146 yards downhill. You know, it was slightly downwind and off the right, so the pin was on the right-hand side of the green, and it was a perfect full wedge, so I could just go straight at it and be aggressive and put a full swing on it, and it should have been about the right distance. It went off online and knew it was going to be good, but to that extent I didn't. You know, to see it a foot from the hole was a great bonus. Best shot I've ever hit.
Well done to Jamie Donaldson. Terrific shot. And what a way to finish off, you know, the Ryder Cup in style, Gordon.
Well, rookie, and did he ever perform. So he certainly deserves that Shot of the Year to finish off the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, great season for Jamie D, no doubt about that. Now, before we look ahead to this week's event in Qatar, let's find out what life is like for one of the rookies on the European Tour, Oliver Farr. He played this week in Abu Dhabi, finishing tied 57th.
The first couple of days, you're a little bit, you know, oh, God, that's that guy. But we're all here to do a job. You know, it's awesome to say that I'm part of the European Tour and be here with the guys that I've been looking up to pretty much all my life. So to be walking around with these guys and competing with them is really, really good. There's a few guys that I've known who have been out here before, and they give me a bit of advice about the certain ways to play and stuff. Bradley Dredge came up on the putting green today and said if he needed anything, just come over and, you know, gave me his number, which is, you know, it was really nice. You know, it feels, makes you feel a bit more comfortable in this environment. And I'm out here, I'm not on my own, but I'm new to this. You know, I'm a new guy on the tour, and you find your friends and it clicks, and, you know, I've left them behind on the challenge tour, but, you know, hopefully they'll come out and join me soon. My first goal is to keep my card, you know, and sort of build on that. Fantastic goal would be to play in the Race to Dubai, be back here at the end of the year, and these guys have done it before, so, you know, yeah, fingers crossed we play well.
Rookie memories for you, Gordon? Your very first event as a pro?
I'm pretty sure it was actually the Tunisian Masters, which I finished third in, which was very good for me. I was very pleased, but it was all new. It was almost like you were tested against people that you'd never been tested before.
Mm.
You know, you all of a sudden you're playing against Sam and Norman and all these people, and you think, well, am I good enough? And I think the first thing you do is, right, I've got to be able to compete. I've got to just play my normal game. Can I make the cuts? And then when we really play well, how well can you actually do it? But it's all new and it's all exciting. I wish I was back to 23.
I'm going to say something now. Yes, you wish you knew then what you know now. It's the same old thing. It's life's little trick, isn't it? But I'm going to say something now that might make you change your mind about your first event, because my first pro event was on the Safari Tour. Before I got to the main tour, after getting my card, I went and played the Safari Tour in Nigeria before I got to the first event on the European Tour. Now, are you going to change your mind about your first event ever as a pro?
We're talking about the European Tour. I went to the Sunshine Tour and played in Africa.
Ah, you see?
So it's not my first one on the European Tour.
Okay.
And actually, I finished third there as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
What a hot start you
I
had.
I did.
They must have thought, this Gordon Brand, something special.
That's
unbelievable. Oliver Farr, good stuff. We'll see how you get on through the season. And a pretty good start, making the cut in Abu Dhabi, that's for sure. Now on to this week's action and the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters at the Doha Golf Club. It's a golf course you play, Gordon.
It is a golf course I played. It's a very exposed golf course, very hot, but the one thing that really catches you out is the wind.
Yeah, it can be breezy, and it was won last year by Spain's Sergio Garcia.
I've always enjoyed coming here and starting my year around here in the Middle East. I think it's some good courses to play and usually really nice weather. A little bit breezy this week so far, but you know, it's always nice when, you know, when it gets a little bit cold in Europe to come back here and play in short sleeves for most of the time. And I've been quite fortunate to do well here for most of the years I've played. Obviously, 2 years ago, we were close to winning, one shot back, and last year finally happened for us on a great play against Mikko Ilonen. So we're excited to keep the trend going. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Well, he's such a good player, Gordon, isn't he? Sergio Garcia.
Oh, he's a wonderful, wonderful striker of the ball. No wonder he's done well at Qatar with the flight of his ball. And he actually loves to play the shots. And you have to do that around a windy golf course.
Give us a feel of the field. Who's playing?
The feel of the field. Well, obviously, we've got one of the top stars is Garcia. We've got Stephen Gallagher, Robert Carlson, Alexander Levy. And the one I've picked out here, which is Toby Tree, who's an invite. Didn't make his card, but I've been with him in the England squad. And he is a prodigious talent. Toby Tree, very, very good striker of the golf ball. Maybe not old enough yet or mature enough, in the same as Matthew Fitzpatrick is in the field as well, but Toby Tree is one to look out for.
And Gordon, there's a couple of other names perhaps you might have just glossed over.
Well, I didn't gloss over them. How can you gloss over Justin Rose and Stenson and, of course, Ernie Els?
You were saving the best for last, weren't you?
Of course I was.
I like the way you're doing it. You're building it. That's beautiful.
Leave something for them.
So I'll ask you for a tip. Toby Tree?
I'm going to go for Stephen Gallagher. I mean, he's notoriously good in wind, and so that's my tip for the week.
And he's a bit of a desert expert because he's going to go to Dubai and try and win that for three times on the bounce.
Well, there you go.
That's absolutely amazing, isn't it? I mean, Justin Rose finished very well last week. Very good final round. I can't see past Justin Rose.
I just think it's not a boom, boom course. It's a very windy course, and you have to be able to get your ball under control. So Stephen Gallagher is my man.
So your Stevie G versus my Justin R. We'll see how it works out. Now, also good news for the European Tour, because Commercial Bank have announced a 3-year extension as the title sponsor of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. The tournament is guaranteed until at least 2017 on the tour's international schedule. Well done all. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters and preview the last event of the Desert Swing, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic from the Emirates Golf Club. Make sure you join us for that. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr.
Goodbye, everybody.
And myself, Robert Lee, it is goodbye.